is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and we're about to discuss genocide, something that sensitive listeners may find disturbing, but that nonetheless continues in our contemporary world. Holocaust Remembrance Day ends tonight at sundown, and last week, millions around the world commemorated the Armenian Genocide of 1915. This month also marks the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan Genocide, a cruel month indeed for acknowledging man's inhumanity to man. Human history has been stained by many similar incidences of barbarity, but the term genocide is a 20th century invention by a Polish lawyer of Jewish descent named Raphael Lemkin.
Most people don't believe that other people are capable of these kinds of crimes, even today. But Lemkin knew.
In Rwanda, up to 200,000 people have died in a month.
About 1.3 million Syrians have fled their country's bloody two-year conflict.
Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir has been accused of masterminding a campaign of genocide in Darfur.
Lemkin came up with the term in 1944. The UN adopted the Genocide Convention in 1948, marking the first time that the deliberate killing of a large group of people, especially those of a particular ethnic group or nation, could be prosecuted by international law. Still, the world that vowed never again after World War II mostly stood by in silence as thousands of Muslim boys and men were slaughtered at Srebrenica and nearly a million were killed in Rwanda, including the parents of Emmanuel Awurukundu, now a field officer in Chad for the UN.
My parents were killed in April, but my sisters were killed around June. It's not acceptable.
These are just some of the horrors that the subjects of the documentary film Watchers of the Sky are trying to prevent in the future. Watchers of the Sky debuted at Sundance earlier this year. It will be released in theaters next year. I caught a screening at the Monadnock International Film Festival in Keene earlier this month and got to meet the film's director and producer, Edith Belzberg. Edith, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So a little background first on Raphael Lemkin and what led him to a lifetime of, let's say, dogged commitment to addressing genocide.
Well, you know, Lemkin, this is something that consumed him since his childhood. You know, he was, unlike most kids, I think from a very early age, he was taken with moral tales that his mother was reading him, with Aesop's Fables and La Fontaine, and this stayed with him for the rest of his life, really. And when he read about the killings, the massacres of the Armenians, he really said to himself, how is this happening today? And that led him on a lifelong pursuit. And he asked himself the question at a very young age, why is the killing of a million a lesser crime than the killing of an individual?
It is such a story. This man forced from his own country when Hitler invades Poland.
Yes.
And by the way, among Hitler's generals, apparently, they said, you know, why do you think you can get away with this? And Hitler says, what did he say? Something like, you know, they did it in Armenia.
He said, well, who today remembers what happened to the Armenians?
Yeah.
Lemkin and Hitler took a very different lesson from the Armenian genocide. Yeah. And, and the lesson Lemkin took was, how do I prevent this from happening to anybody ever again? And once it happened to him and his people, he not only wanted to protect himself and his family and his people, but he wanted to find a way to stop this from ever happening to anyone again and to protect humanity from this crime.
Well, that's what one of the things that we learn in the book from you have profiles of, you know, four other unbelievably courageous people fighting genocide in their own way, including Samantha Power. Mm-hmm. She wrote the Pulitzer Prize winning book, A Problem from Hell, about mm-hmm. genocide. Now she is U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Now, she tells us that there was not an existing crime to charge Hitler with for killing the Jews. Hey, really? Why couldn't he be charged?
Well, under the Nuremberg laws, he had to cross an international border. So as she says in the film, if Hitler would have only killed all the Jews of Germany, he technically would not have been convicted, or his generals would have been convicted of a crime against humanity in the books at that time. Mm. But it's because they crossed the borders, because they went into Poland and they went into other countries, that they then could be convicted. So that was what Lemkin took issue with. He said, my God, it shouldn't be legal to kill the people who, you know, in your own country. Mm-hmm. And that's what he worked against. It should be equally illegal for a leader to kill tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, you know, millions of his or own people, and Lemkin sought to make that a crime. He wanted to ensure that leaders could not kill their people with impunity, which is still something that we're struggling with today.
Right, and this is something we see borne out in the film. But there is this terrific sequence where we see Lemkin, his notes and his struggles to come up with a name for this long, terrible history of barbarism. Mm-hmm. Now, why was the word so important? What would that do?
Well, he really hoped that the word would bind humanity. He really believed that he could find that one word, if he could find the right word, that would be enough. He felt that if the word encompassed the horrors, that people would come together to stop it from happening again. Mm-hmm. And he really believed that words held that weight and held that power. Sadly, that was not the case. He coined the term genocide. It was used in Nuremberg, and then it was incorporated in the dictionary, and it was something he was, of course, to be very proud of, but he saw that it wasn't enough. And once he saw that it wasn't enough, that's when he turned his attention to creating the Genocide Convention and pushing that through the United Nations. And he, again, thought that would be enough to stop these crimes from happening again.
We're going to hear a little bit of a clip of Ben Ferenc at Nuremberg. But first, a little context. There's an exchange with a Nazi commander of the Einsatzgruppen. These are the death squads. Now, he tells the court that 90,000 people were killed under his command between June of 1941 and 1942. And then we'll hear from Ben Ferenc.
The killing of defenseless civilians during a war may be a war crime, but the same killings are part of another crime, a graver one, if you will, genocide.
Now, Ben Ferenc met Lemkin at Nuremberg. What were his impressions of this guy?
You know, Lemkin had one goal. You know, he had one goal and one pursuit, and everyone who he met, you know, he would badger with this one goal and one pursuit, which was to make genocide a crime. And so he was really badgering Ben at that time to incorporate it into the Nuremberg trials, because at that time, what they were able to try was crimes against humanity and war crimes. So genocide was not in the books. They couldn't do that. And so Ben at that time couldn't rewrite everything, even though he saw the legitimacy of Lemkin's goal. So what he did do is he used the word, and it was probably the first time the word had ever been used in a court in that setting, but he could not make genocide a crime. And it would only be until years later that genocide actually became a crime, and it is today, as we know, a crime, and it could be prosecuted in the International Criminal Court. But Ben's first impression, I think, were a very, you know, dogged individual, but also one who compromised his well-being for the pursuit of his goal. Mm-hmm. And I think that made an impression on Ben. He felt his pain. He understood that this was a very pained individual. And I think that he felt, you know, compassion for him and respected him for what he was trying to do.
Yeah, describes him with worn suits and crumpled shirts.
Yeah.
We're talking about that character of Raphael Lemkin. He's the man who came up with the word genocide, which later gave the international community a legal framework for preventing and prosecuting this crime against humanity. The filmmaker Edith Belzberg is with us. Her documentary about Lemkin and four other people working tirelessly to hold today's perpetrators of genocide accountable is called Watchers of the Sky. It's going to be released next year. So by pigeonholing senators and statesmen at the time, Lemkin was able to get enough votes to help ratify the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. This is in, I think, 48.
Yes.
So how has it been invoked since then? You must prove that it is deliberate.
Yes, I mean, it's been invoked a few times. I mean, we've seen it with the case of, which is currently going on, of Ratko Mladic, who's responsible for the Serbian massacre, and thankfully, Luis Moreno Ocampo, who is a character in the film, he used it when he indicted Omar al-Bashir, the president of Sudan, for the crimes committed in Darfur. And so it's been invoked, thankfully, a few times. Unfortunately, we haven't seen Bashir arrested yet, even though he has been convicted of committing genocide and crimes
against
humanity.
That's the thing. He can be indicted, but there is no real international, you know, police force that will go and arrest him. That's, I think part of this is about the will of the global superpowers, you know?
Yes, no, absolutely. And that's the problem that we currently face, is how, once these leaders are indicted, how do we arrest them? How do we bring them to face justice and to trial, and so that they no longer lead with impunity? And I think that's something that's important to remember about Lemkin, is he lobbied with the UN in 1948. It's almost unheard of. I mean, this is one individual. He didn't speak, English was not his native language. He didn't represent an organization or an institution or a country. He barely had an address to call his own. He was struggling financially, had very little money, and yet he spent every day going to the UN. Every day he went to the UN to lobby ambassadors and delegates to push forward this crime. And we, you know, and it makes one wonder, my God, this is one individual who is able to bring all the countries of the UN together to pass a resolution in 1948. And it's remarkable. And I think one of the reasons why Lemkin is, you know, a hero, an unknown hero of our time, is that he did this. He really gave his life for this cause, and I hope that we as a people can pick up this torch, this incredibly bright torch that this one man left.
Edith Belzberg, what a story. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Edith Belzberg is an Academy Award-nominated documentary film director and producer. Her film, Watchers of the Sky, debuted at Sundance earlier this year and is in limited screenings until next year when it will be released. You can watch a trailer for the film and find out more about Raphael Lemkin and the four other remarkably courageous people profiled in the film. There are links at wordofmouthradio.org. Our thanks for your listening time and attention today. There's much more to hear and even to pass around at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us, you can send us your feedback, or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. After all, it's the stories we tell via word of mouth that shape our world, our friendships, our ideas, and our perspectives. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.